Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, April 3rd. Our top story today, tributes are being paid to a cyclist who died after being knocked off his bike by a car door near Tenterton. Martin Walczak was taken to hospital after getting injured in Rolvenden but died 4 days later. Lucy has the details for the Kent Online podcast. Lucy, how did the accident unfold?
Martin was cycling along Maytham Road at around midday on March 24th when he was knocked off his bike by a car door. He'd tried to avoid it but was hit in the jaw and neck by the bottom of the door, causing a nasty injury. He was able to get back home to his wife Jan, who was a nurse. She carried out first aid and kept an eye on him for the rest of the afternoon. But at around 8:30 that evening, he suffered what his family thought was a stroke and was taken to the William Harvey Hospital. There it was discovered a clot had formed in his carotid artery, causing a bleed on the brain. He was taken for surgery but died days later.
We know the 65-year-old was born in Rolvenden and had lived in the Ashford area for most of his life. I imagine the death has had quite a big impact on the community.
That's right. When Martin was younger, he'd played for football clubs in Rolvenden, Tenterden and Wittersham, as well as cricket for Stone in Oxney. He'd had his own company and worked as a painter and decorator for more than 35 years. He's being remembered as incredibly independent and an outdoors person who'd hoped to travel to Australia to see England play in the Ashes. Martin had previously agreed to organ donation, and on the day he died, doctors were able to use both kidneys, liver and heart valves for life-saving transplants. His family say they hope it'll encourage more people to register for organ donation and to also spend more time with their family.
And I believe investigations are now underway.
Yes, it's being looked into by the Serious Collision Investigation Unit, and officers are appealing for witnesses to come forward. They're also looking for anyone with dashcam or CCTV footage. Police believe the owner of a blue Ford may be able to help them with their inquiries.
Kent Online News.
Police are hunting a teenager who might be in Kent following a stabbing in Norfolk. A man in his 30s was injured in Thetford last month. 18-year-old Elvis Price has links to our county. We've shared his picture at Kent Online. Police are on the hunt for two people after the attempted robbery of a pensioner in Gravesend. The victim in her 80s fell over on Windmill Street on the morning of March 25th. While she was on the ground, the suspects tried to take her jewellery. They left empty-handed. Investigators want to speak to any witnesses. A man in his 30s has been left in a critical condition after a serious assault in Chatham. The victim was found at a property in the High Street on Monday afternoon, but it's thought he may have been attacked earlier in the day in Magpie Hall Road. A 53-year-old man has been arrested and taken into custody. A fuel company boss from Aylesford has been jailed for 11 years for conspiracy to supply cocaine. Michael Wheaton of London Road denied the charge but was linked after a drugs courier was found with 1.5 kilos of cocaine in 2019. Police found the driver had been in frequent contact with a phone belonging to Wheaton. Residents in Chatham have described the moment they tried to tackle a fire that broke out in their neighbour's garden. Fire crews were called to Holcombe Road on Sunday afternoon after an electrical fire sparked the blaze in a shed. It was contained to the garden, which was completely destroyed, but there were no reported injuries. Hattie Tink has been talking to reporter Ellie Hodgson about what she saw.
I was literally at my bedroom window, and the roof started smoking. So I thought, oh, it's because obviously when it's hot, obviously wood steams, like because the condensation. And next thing, it literally just went up. I literally shouted to Mum because it was a lot of clear white smoke. And I was like, oh, Mum, that's a lot. And I was like, Mum, come here quick. And she was like, what's going on? What's going on? I was like, I don't know. And then literally we both turned our heads and it just went woof. The whole thing caught. And then literally my mum was like, call the fire brigade. She called them. She then got the key, ran into theirs to try and get the animals. I was shouting at my neighbour's kids because she was getting her washing in because she thought they was having a fire, like a bonfire as such. So she was like, what the fuck? Like, why are you getting... like, what are you doing that for? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's middle of the day. What are you doing? So she was getting her washing in. And then I screamed at her, get in. And then got her kids in. And then my neighbour Tina and her husband and their friend was outside. They then grabbed their hose line. I then grabbed mine. We were trying to get it from the back, but we just couldn't reach it. Obviously, it went massive. I was just so grateful that no one was home. Like, because he's an electrician. So obviously it was all electrical and then it turned into a normal fire. And obviously we've all got decking apart from next door. So literally, and obviously it caught the power line. So if it would have fallen, it would have gone on all of like a whole, all of our houses would have set alight. I can still smell burning. Literally, like looking at it, it's just horrifying to look at because you just think like, you couldn't imagine, like, if someone's kids were in there, like, literally, it was just awful, awful. I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy, like, to see that. And luckily, it was just their garden. Like, it didn't get to the house because the police, fire brigade come in time. But if it would have caught their house, it would have been a completely different story.
Kent Online News.
An organisation set up to help rough sleepers in Maidstone has criticised government plans to criminalise homelessness. Rishi Sunak's facing a Tory revolt over the bill, which would give police the power to fine or move on those who are deemed to be causing a nuisance. Claire Keeley from Maidstone Winter Shelter says it'll impact those who are most vulnerable.
How would this impact those that are homeless in Maidstone?
Well, They won't have the money to pay this kind of fine. There is no chance they've got that kind of money. They are going to be fined for something that they are really struggling to deal with. And it just seems absolutely ludicrous that in this day and age, homelessness is a crime.
On the government's website, it says the bill will give power to tackle nuisance, begging and rough sleeping where it causes damage, disruption, harassment, but key, avoiding criminalising the genuinely vulnerable. That's what they're saying. So could this work? If it was put into practice in the way it's explained here, would it actually work? I mean, how easy would it be to define who are genuinely vulnerable and who are nuisance?
It's going to be subjective, isn't it, as to who's looking at it and what they're seeing. So part of the things, it says if people look as though they intend to rough sleep, so that could simply be somebody walking along with a sleeping bag, somebody who's got a rucksack, somebody who looks like they haven't washed for a few days. And these people, the most vulnerable in our society, they could really be impacted by this. Hopefully it will be, if it's pushed through Parliament and the Lords, which hopefully it won't be, but hopefully it would be done with, responsibly. But bearing in mind, nearly half of our guests this season were sleeping on the streets before they came to us, I'm not sure that it's going to be done as kindly as it could be.
So what you're saying is actually it possibly could work if it's done correctly, if people are following these guidelines, if enforcement officers are patrolling, it could work?
If it's for people who are nuisances, people who are displaying real antisocial behaviour, violent behaviour, that sort of thing, where people are creating a public nuisance and are people are at risk from them. That's one thing. Somebody who simply has not got anywhere to go because their relationship has broken down and they've got nowhere to live and they are going to nestle down in a doorway with a sleeping bag. I'm not sure that they're protected by this bill. I think it needs to be looked at through the eyes of people that are experiencing homelessness. I think they need to look at why people are on the streets, why people feel they have no option other to go on the streets.
The man who led an inquiry into maternity services at East Kent Hospitals Trust has criticised the compensation process for affected families. Bill Kirkup's investigation in 2022 found 45 baby deaths could have been prevented. NHS Resolution says it's examining each individual claim and families will have to prove liability for any harm caused. Around 80 protesters have gathered outside a care home on Sheppey to oppose plans to turn it into a centre for asylum seekers. KCC wants to house 50 people aged 16 and 17 at Ocean Heights residential home in Minster. They could move in as early as May. A report by Ofsted's found children with special educational needs and disabilities in Medway are still waiting too long to be assessed. Inspectors say there are inconsistent experiences and outcomes, but they did acknowledge some improvements since 2017. Council bosses say they have a clear plan going forward to make things easier for families. A dad from Aylesford has raised thousands cycling from Redhill to Rochester, honouring his daughter who died in a car crash. Amy Williams died in a three-vehicle crash in 2022, aged just 30. 2 years on, her dad Colin has raised more than $11,000 for Kent's Air Ambulance charity, which looked after Amy in her last hours. A Kent couple have had their picture taken by celebrity photographer Rankin to celebrate the diversity of foster carers in the modern day. Darren Sharp and his husband James are from Ashford. They've looked after more than 20 children in the last 12 years. It comes as data from National Fostering Group shows stereotypes are preventing nearly half the people in the southeast from considering fostering. Nicola spoke to Darren.
As a gay couple, we were never going to go down the conventional route of having a child. There would always need to be some work involved one way or another. And we looked at different options, including IVF and adoption. And then we just felt that, so I had previously worked for YMCA. My husband was a primary school teacher. And we had that feeling that we made a small difference to a lot of people, but we wanted to make a lot of difference to just a few people. We decided that fostering was definitely the way for us to go, just to help a range of children, ages, experiences, and bring a different aspect to their life, I suppose.
As a gay couple, did you ever think that you wouldn't be able to foster? Because perhaps for some people, they might not realise that they're even allowed to be a foster carer. It seems like it would be a strange thought, but did you ever think that?
Certainly like growing up, I always thought, I'd like to get married, I'd like to have kids. And then when you work out you're gay, you think, okay, those options might not be available. The world has changed a lot in the 12 years since we started fostering. And yeah, we weren't sure. And at the time as well, it was met with some level of suspicion from some people. And I was very aware of that. But actually, that's where I think finding the right agency came in, because when we joined Heath Farm, there were already other gay carers fostering there, so it felt like we kind of had some mentorship and some role models. And actually, it's been really nice to feel that we can play that role for other families that have come through since. It's brilliant, isn't it, that it's becoming just more everyday. I can't tell you enough how boring our life is. It's just as boring as everyone else's. It's all making packed lunches and driving children to after-school clubs. It's just the same.
Glorified taxi driver, that's how you feel sometimes. Fantastic. But it's, you know, it's a fantastic opportunity. And what you're doing for those children, they are going to remember for the rest of their lives. And of course, you've been part of this amazing campaign and you've been photographed by Rankin to raise awareness of who can be a foster carer. What was that experience like?
It was just such a brilliant day. And it reminded me of when we very first applied to be foster carers, we were told, you can't go into this job thinking that it's going to be rewarding. Actually, sometimes it's hard or whatever. There's never been a day where I've not felt rewarded. But that day, I felt like a celebrity. So I was whisked in. There was just a whole team of people there. And you go through and you had like wardrobe and they gave us loads of clothes and then going to hair and makeup for the people that wanted to put makeup on. And just felt really special the whole day. And actually, I studied photography many years ago. And so I was well aware of Rankin and just how fortunate we were to be photographed by him. And I thought I'd feel really nervous. I didn't. It was just so much fun and I was caught up in it. It just went by in a flash. It was a really lovely experience. And he even took some extra photos so we took our foster children along with us. And he wasn't supposed to, but he asked, would we like some photos taken just as a gift from him? And so actually, not only have we got some brilliant shots of us, but also of the boys, which is really, really kind of him.
Nearly 120 new carers are needed in Kent. The Faces of Fostering campaign is urging people from all walks of life to get involved.
Kent Online News.
More than 100 people have signed a petition calling for upgrades to a dangerous crossing in Dartford. Neighbours and parents say they fear someone will be seriously injured on the crossing on Dartford Road outside West Hill Primary Academy. Campaigners say they've been asking KCC to do something for the last 20 years and that they shouldn't wait wait for a fatality to make the changes. Our reporter, Keely Greenwood, has been speaking to resident Gary Turner.
So what's the problem with the crossing?
So for me personally, the problem's been I've had two near misses where I've literally been halfway across the crossing and a car's come across in front of me. So this isn't something that I'm just doing for a bit of fun. You know, it really is a real issue, and twice I've almost been knocked over myself. And in addition, I also am one of the coordinators of West Hill Neighbourhood Watch, and there's been repeated and persistent issues on this same crossing around near misses, and we just think it's about time that Kent County Council took the near misses seriously.
What would you like to see done about the crossing?
There's quite a few ideas that have come from the community. So one could be, for example, there's some quite innovative technology like a 3D printed crossing, which actually has been evidenced to slow down drivers as they get towards the crossing. Maybe it'd be a pelican crossing. We just want a dialogue. We want an adult dialogue between the community and Kent County Council to try and, you know, it shouldn't take someone being murdered or someone being killed for this to be taken seriously, because there's enough near misses to justify it being taken seriously.
And it's been going on a long time as well, you said.
Well, I was surprised to hear, to be honest, that over 20 years in some examples. You know, this isn't a new issue. And again, you could look at it one way and say, yeah, but no one's died. And you could go, okay, great, tick in the box. But is it going to take that for this to be dealt with? I don't really know.
Residents upset over traffic delays caused by new homes being built near Maidstone have been told it will be over very soon. 421 houses are being built at Parsonage Place in Oatham. 79 are complete, with 120 hoped to be finished by the summer. Neighbours have complained of disruption along Derringwood Drive. They're being reassured that work will be done by the end of May. A McDonald's drive-thru could be coming to Dover, despite fears it could lead to traffic congestion. It would be the seaside town's only branch if approved, and would create 120 new jobs. But council leader Kevin Mills says despite demand, the land could have been better used. A key route linking Faversham to Ashford is due to close later this month for 3 weeks. It's due to maintenance works on a bridge carrying the road over the M2. National Highways will shut the road overnight over 3 weekends between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. Diversion routes will be in place. Residents in Dover have criticised the condition of free tennis courts, which have fallen into a state of disrepair. Fences are broken and nets are falling down at the facility in Connaught Park. Council bosses say they're not in a position to address the issues raised, so no repairs are planned. Head to Kent Online for photos revealing plans for the 200 homes earmarked for Medway Council's former offices. It's the first development in the Strood Waterfront project, which could see up to 1,600 homes across 8 sites. It would also see hundreds of new parking spaces in a combination of private and affordable accommodation. A decision is due in June. A nursery in Deal has put forward plans to expand to meet a growing demand for childcare places. There's currently a shortfall in the area, and bosses at Creative Minds on Stanhope Road want to increase capacity from 60 to 90. If it's approved, it'll also create 5 new jobs. 2 Sheppey holiday parks who were forced to close in lockdown have had their futures secured as a new holiday company's snapped them up. After running into financial struggles, Golden Lees and Hollybush Farm are 2 of the 5 parks to have been bought by Meadow Bay Villages. The owner promises now to further invest and develop the areas.
Kent Online News.
The new owners of the Hengeist restaurant in Aylesford have revealed plans to give it a new lease of life. The business closed down at the end of last year. It's now been taken over by a former manager who says he plans to refurbish the 16th century building while keeping its historical features. If you're heading to Medway over the school holidays, look out for some unusual creatures. A new magical beasts sculpture trail is being officially launched this morning. It features a T-Rex and baby iguanodons, as well as cheeky gremlin characters and 2 baby elephants. You can also learn more about the town's history by scanning a QR code on each sculpture. Faversham brewer Shep and Neame has been named as best partnership pub company at an event described as the Oscars for the hospitality industry. A ceremony has been held for the Publican Awards at Battersea Park in London. Shep and Neame was also shortlisted in the best new site category for its recent refurbishment of the Duke of Cumberland pub in Whitstable.
Kent Online Sport.
Briefly in football, Gillingham chairman says there's the potential to redevelop their stadium if they manage to move up through the leagues. Brad Gallinson says one of the reasons he chose to invest in the club was its ability to expand if the time comes. Current capacity is just under 10,000, and the Gills still have an outside chance of reaching the playoffs in League 2 this season. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.